when Beverly was reading the epistle. Romans 8, verse 1, is so powerful and so wonderful because it reads this way. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means that if you know Jesus, yes, I know, we've read John 3, 16 to 18 1,000 times, and I've told you that if you know Jesus, you are saved and you have eternal life. And if you don't know Jesus, Jesus said you're condemned already. My point that I'm making is that what a precious gift Jesus is to us. A precious gift. And there's more that comes with that gift than just batteries. It is amazing that with Jesus comes forgiveness of our sins. When we give it to Him, He doesn't take it back. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. I don't know about you, but in my life, I carried a lot of baggage around. Because I wasn't always a priest. I had another life, and another life before that. It seems like I've lived 3 or 4 lives. But there's also a lot of stuff that we have all done. And what that scripture says is that if you know Jesus Christ, stop carrying around baggage. When you give it to Him, He doesn't give it back. We live in such a high, fast-paced world. I mean, it's crazy. Filled with, let's go! Hurry up! You have that problem at home? You know, it's like, hey, come on, we got to get going. We're going to be late. Time magazine wrote that back in the 1960s, which if you think about it, it's 50 years ago, expert testimony was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management, which predicted, you get this, technology would radically change how many hours a week people work. Well, I can tell you, I worked more this week trying to get the sound system right, but it'll eventually take some things off of my plate and off everybody else's plate. But they said, believe this or not, believe that the average American would be working only 22 hours a week within 20 years. And that was 50 years ago. They predicted that America would have plenty of excess time. And here we are, 40 plus years, near 50 years after that, after incredible advances in technology. And how many of us are wondering what to do with all that excess time on our hands, right? Instead, it would seem to me that if you want to get somewhere else, you got to run at least twice as fast. How many of us feel that way? And so I have a participation quiz. And yes, you're okay to raise your hand, but this one I want you to speak out. I'm going to ask you to fill in the blanks, nice and loud, okay? I'm ready to throw in the
towel.
I'm at the end of my
nerves.
I'm just a bundle of
nerves.
Okay.
Joy.
Okay. Now, here's the glass half empty and the glass half full. He's just happy to have a glass. Because you're saying a bundle of, and what did Wesley say? Joy. I like that. We need to be more like Wesley. My life is falling
apart.
Oh, you all agreed on that one. I'm at my wits.
Amen.
And I feel like resigning from the human
race.
Okay, y'all pass. Apparently, we're all experiencing the rat race. Just when you thought you were getting ahead, along comes faster rats. But remember, whoever wins the rat race is still a rat. You know what? I think we need to learn how to experience rest. If all we needed was rest, physical rest, we could always take a nap. If we only needed emotional rest, we could always take a vacation. But where can we find spiritual rest? Good question. How can we obtain relief regarding the deepest issues of life at the deepest level of our hearts? The more things change, the more they stay the same. 50 years later, we're taking more on our plates because of technology. Jesus spoke to this very issue 2,000 years ago in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. They were at the end of today's Holy Gospel. And it contains three commands from Jesus that lead to rest. Let me just read those words again to you. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I will experience rest for my soul if I obey Jesus' commands of come to me. Jesus regularly invited people to come and join him, to meet their needs. Now notice, Jesus did not say, come to church to find rest. The truth is that, and hear me on this, Christianity does begin with meeting Jesus personally. Going to McDonald's does not make you a hamburger. Going into a garage does not make you a car or a truck. Going to church does not make you a Christian. You have to meet Jesus personally. Gathering information about Jesus does not make you a Christian. It makes you a historian. Joining a group does not make you a Christian. Having Christian parents does not make you a Christian. You become a Christian through a moment of time choosing to answer Jesus' personal invitation to turn from your own ways and come to him. Then you'll find that what he's been offering to you has been waiting for you all along. This is a personal question, and you don't have to raise your hand or even shout out. But can you recall when you first decided to answer Jesus' call to come? And receive, this is the second command, receive the spiritual rest that will be given. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest for all those who labor. Now Jesus is not just speaking about the blue collar, the farmers, the workers, but to sincere, conscientious people who are trying to balance what they believe to be the scales of good deeds versus bad deeds to be accepted by God. With that way of thinking, you're never going to know how your account is balanced at any time. Human effort falls far short of the standard that God requires. You know, before every service, the worship team gathers back in the sacristy, the acolytes, the lay ministers, and we pray. And we pray that God would give us the strength to try to serve him in excellence. And we know we're going to fail, but he always makes up the difference. Our efforts can always be strengthened by the power of God. And you'll never know the difference, because we know we may have messed up, but God doesn't let you see that. He wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth. Receive the spiritual rest that will be given by him. Human effort falls far short of the standard that God requires. The cross is the place of exchange, where what I am is placed on him and what he is given to me. Let me make this a little more clear. My bad deeds are removed and placed on the shoulders of Jesus Christ when he got and laid on the cross, and they were forgiven. I rest on his perfection, which is credited to my account, his righteousness in place of mine. This is what happens when we die. If we know and love Jesus Christ and we have repented of our sins, when we stand before God the Father in judgment, when we stand before him, he will not see our unrighteousness, our sins. Instead, he will see the righteousness of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is that good news? Stop carrying around baggage. Leave it at the cross. It's not yours anymore. If you gave it to him,
Forget about it.
Jesus wants to provide rest for those who are heavy laden and burdened by sin. The baggage that they've been carrying around. I keep thinking of that image of Ebenezer Scrooge watching Marley carry those chains and those blocks. You want to do that? You don't have to. The enemy's reminding you of what you did. But Jesus wants you to forget about what you did when you gave it to him. The burden's no longer yours. He's speaking to those who are wrapped up in living for themselves, all about possessions, all about stuff. In Jesus Christ, the full penalty has already been paid. God didn't send Jesus to rub our sins in, but to rub them out. He bore the guilt and paid the penalty. And there's nothing left to pay. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you went and you asked for the check and the waiter or waitress comes to you and says, it's already been taken care of? Have you ever had that experience? It is amazing. Your jaw drops about this far. And you're like, who? What? How about this? Have you ever pulled up to a toll booth and you go to give the person the dollar or whatever it is, and they say to you, the car in front of you just paid for it. And you're like, what? Or maybe you've drawn up to the toll booth and given some money to the toll collector and said, pay for the next car. That's what we're talking about here. Come and rest in what Jesus has done for you. You'll experience rest for your soul as you also obey Jesus' command of take my yoke upon you. Now, what is a yoke? It's a type of harness that connects a pair of oxen. Just look in your bulletins. There's a picture of a yoke. Go ahead, look in the bulletin. Look in the yellow bulletin. There's a picture of Jesus and a person who he's giving comfort to. But I also included a picture of a yoke, just so you get an idea. A yoke is a type of harness that connects a pair of oxen. Jesus uses this to refer to the submission to a teacher. In New Testament times, the phrase to take the yoke of was used by rabbis to refer to becoming a submitted pupil of a teacher. Jesus didn't say your yoke, he said my yoke. So he commands us to take up his yoke to find rest. There's no rest without having a personal relationship with God based on the finished work of Jesus. So which yoke have you been under? Jesus's or your own? Through the choice we make, we access all that God has given to us. When I picture a yoke, I picture three things. First, connection with Jesus. Yokes are made for two, not for one. We're not meant to go through life living apart from God. His yoke fits well and is lighter than the one that we've been trying to pull all by ourselves. We have to be connected to Jesus in order to survive eternally. Jesus said, follow me. The yoke gives forward motion of those two connected together. You cannot be yoked to Jesus and go your own way anymore. We follow him and his direction for our life. And then there's cooperation. If you're yoked to Jesus, to be yoked together with him means that we cooperate with his work. Before we come to him, we were living for this side of eternity. Now we're joined to his work and discover what makes our lives, that our lives make an eternal kingdom impact. Rest is the result of being obedient when we rest in him. And then thirdly, the command that Jesus gives us is learn from me. Go experience rest for your soul when you obey Jesus' command of learn from me. All of us are ignorant, let's face it. But we're all ignorant on different levels. Henry is an engineer. I couldn't go there. The other Henry rides a bicycle, a motorbike. I couldn't go there either. George was a principal. I couldn't go there. You all have different experiences. We all come from different directions. There are farmers in here who I just am so amazed at what they do. And teachers. So amazing of the gifts that God has given. Rest is the result of obedience when we rest in Him. We learn from Him. And we're all ignorant at different levels. When we come, take up His yoke, the process of learning begins. We learn to try to be more like Jesus and yearn to take on traits like His. Jesus' gentleness draws us to Him with our cares and our concerns. Now, wouldn't it be great to have someone you can pour out your deepest thoughts to? A gentle person who has the strength to help. And you know that nobody else is going to hear it. It's amazing how you tell one person, and then they tell another, and they tell another. It's like that commercial, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends. It's like telephone. It just goes everywhere. And it's never what was supposed to be said. When you tell Jesus, it goes nowhere except His ears. We need to learn that Jesus wants to just love us. And the Apostle Peter wisely and lovingly tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Selflessness. It's also known as humility, with Jesus as the example. Pride and self-centeredness is strictly straight from the enemy. The very things that turn people off from church are the very opposite of what Jesus is really like. Hurting, lost, and weary people were drawn to Jesus because He cared for them and He met their needs and changed their lives and their lifestyles. The grace that we receive is His rest. Once and for all, we rest in His work on the cross for us to make us acceptable to God. Jesus is gentle and He's humble. The more you learn that about Him, the more you'll find rest in Him. I think you might find this illustration, as I come to a close, this illustration very helpful. There was an old farmer plowing a team of oxen. He had one huge ox and one very small ox that were sharing the work on a dual yoke. The big one towered over the little one. In truth, the way that they're yoked, the big one is doing all the work. And the smaller one is not carrying any weight to speak of, but is being trained or broken in, learning how to do the job. Just as it says in today's gospel, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When we're yoked with Jesus, He bears the load, and we who are yoked to Him share in the joy and accomplishment of the labor, but without the burden. I know sometimes life makes us feel like the ox who's pulling himself to exhaustion. But true rest comes from obedience to Jesus' three commands. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. And so today, let each one of us take up these words from the author of the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.